Last year, those of you who did come along to the golf course will remember that I discussed something called second level thinking. And the reason I did that was not because of philosophers like Descartes who said, I think, therefore I am, or Buddha who said, I am what I think. But if you wake up in the morning and you're bedonored, you're going to have a shit day. If you wake up in the morning and you look at the sunshine and you say, you know, things are going to be okay, you'll have a good day. And it's all about thinking. So then I took it one step further and said, who are the guys that I know who've been successful because of the way they think? And so last year, it was second level thinking. And that was through a wonderful investor called Howard Marks, who runs a massive international company that Warren Buffett says, when Howard Marks writes a memo, Warren Buffett says, that's the first thing I'll read that day. So it's a pretty high accolade. One of the best South Africans who manages money, Sean Pesh, he's in the top 1% in the world. Over every period of over 5 years, he is based in London. He says that Howard Marks is his guru. So that's where it came from. This time I thought, let me go one step further. And who is the guy who thinks better than anybody else on earth? If you consider this guy, he's transformed the space industry, transformed it completely. He's transformed the automotive industry. He's transforming the energy industry. He's transformed the tunneling industry, neurotechnology, artificial intelligence. He's the guy who started ChatGPT, by the way. And now he's got something called Grok. And he is in the process of transforming the media industry. Never in history, even Tesla himself didn't come close to what Elon Musk is doing to the world. So I thought, now, how does he get so good? What does he do? How does he think that makes him so exceptional? I understand that when Elon was growing up, and you can read this in Walter Isaacson's biography, growing up in Pretoria, there weren't enough books in the local library for him, so he'd read them all. So he then had an encyclopedia at home, and he read that encyclopedia twice. So a read. But the second thing is, when you study this guy and the way he thinks, he's got something that he calls first principles thinking. There's a wonderful way of looking at things to understand what's good by looking first at what's bad. It's called inverting, and it is something that Warren Buffett's pal, Charlie Munger, the late Charlie Munger, said, if ever you've got a complicated issue, invert it. So who are the people who don't think? There were two academics at New York University in 1999 who decided that they wanted to discover not just the good thinkers, but the bad thinkers. Their names were Justin Kruger and David Dunning. And they did a lot of research, and they came up with a thing called the Kruger-Dunning principle. And the Kruger-Dunning principle tells us that those people who know least think they know most. They are overconfident in their abilities. Those people who know most think they know least. So it's a paradox. So we take that, the people who you don't want to listen to, the people you don't want to absorb, are those who think they know it all. And through history, we've had many examples of how those people have really hurt society. Probably the smartest guy is even more smarter than Elon Musk is Socrates. And when Socrates lived, what did he say? He said, the beginning of wisdom is to know you're ignorant. Is to know you know nothing. So Elon Musk, first principles, what he does is he takes a complicated issue, he then breaks it down to its most basic principles, understands what that is, and then starts rebuilding. And what he does is he looks at everything that everybody else is talking about, and he throws it out the window and says, let's start again. Let's begin again. It's a fantastic, fantastic way to look at life. So I use that and I then look at the world. So let's look at the world now. So I wanted to give you that as background, how to look at things a little differently, and then we see where we are. So let's start off with the United States. Here we have a country that is in massive decline. It's got a huge budget deficit. It's going bankrupt. It's got a massive trade deficit, which means its industry is being hollowed out. Now you've got a guy who comes along there and he says, geez, we've got to do something about this. How did all of this happen? Well, the Chinese came into the World Trade Organization in about 20 years ago. The Chinese are very clever. They had the rules written in a way that everyone agreed to, and they managed to work in a way that they hollowed out much of the United States through very smart approaches. And I'm not making all of this up. You can go and read it. It's truth. It's what's happened. It isn't just suddenly that Americans have got real dumb and Chinese have got real clever. Chinese companies are owned by the state, and the state will subsidize the companies to actually dominate particular industries. And that's what's happened. So now you've got a guy who arrives in the White House. His constituents are people who say, we've lost our jobs. They've gone. They've been offshored. We think that this is wrong. And so he says, let's make America great again, which is a lovely catchphrase. As flawed a character as he is, people have said it's worth a chance. So that's what's going in America. And why is it worth a chance? Because they are going bust. So he's trying to change it. He's trying to fix it. Here in South Africa, we're doing the same thing. Our debt to GDP ratio has gone from 26% when Trevor Manuel was the finance minister to 80% today. We are spending more than we earn. What are the Americans doing? They are spending more than they earn. At some point in time, you've got to stop that. What do we as individuals do if we spend more than we earn? Well, hopefully we get a little bit of first principles and we say, shit, the bank account is saying it's going down every month. Well, of course, as individuals, you never get to that stage because your bank manager will phone you up and ask you to repay your loan or to close your account. When countries do it, it seems to be okay. And you can do it for 100 years. And then you get a guy like Javier Milei in Argentina who gets elected because he stands there with a chainsaw and he says, people of Argentina, we all know that this can't carry on. So I'm going to take a chainsaw and I'm going to halve the size of government. When he first comes in, massive, massive resistance. Who's this fool? Who's this idiot? What does he know? In Davos, the first time he was there, World Economic Forum, the guy gets up on the stage and it's almost like there's a silence in the ice, icy. He'd just been elected. Nobody wanted to hear this fool. I was there in January. He'd been in government for a year. He was given a standing ovation by those very same people who said, who's this fool? Argentina is sucking in investment because after 100 years of socialism and going backwards, they are now starting to address things and go forward. Of course, it's not going to change overnight, but the inflation rate's down, the economy is growing, and he's applying first principles. How do we fix that place? I then look at our own country, and we know in South Africa that transformation is critical. There's no arguments to that. But how do you do the transformation? That's what's much more important. So you start with first principles. You say, transformation. Okay, we're all on it. But now the next step is, what we've been doing to achieve the transformation, has that had the desired objective? Well, you almost have to say, if you wanted to screw things up, then do what we've been doing. And the sad thing is, those who make the rules are doubling down on this insane policy. Why? Because what tends to happen often in society is that the vested interests, the antibodies in the system, use the useful idiots to continue to keep the status quo going. There's a lot of buzzwords and stuff, but essentially what it means is, if I'm all right, Jack, I don't want to change things. So I'm going to make sure that I stay all right in any way that I can. And sadly, that's the situation we have in our country. But the people of South Africa said, no, this stuff, we don't like this anymore. The political party that was going to rule until Jesus came again was dropped to 40% in the last election. And if the DA isn't punished in this government of national unity, which many people believe they will be if they don't get their act together on the economy, then that 40% will go down even further in the next election, almost certainly. It's on a slide. And yet, there's no first principles thinking. There's just, well, let's just keep trying to do this because this is what we believed and this is what some guys maybe thought about in the Soviet Union 25 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. And we'll continue doubling down on the socialist project. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But history is full of this. And you don't have to be part of those who are hurt by the implications. And I'll get onto that in a little while. But I just want to dwell on two things to illustrate the point. We have a well-documented 100 billion rand. Something about the ANC, they just like this number, 100 billion rand. 100 billion rand, 100 black industrialists project. So how that's going to work is that the government, who are the world's worst allocators of capital, by the way, if you want to give capital to someone and ask them to make it efficient, remember, it's our capital. Our tax money. You go and find somebody who has a record in getting a good return on the money you give them to invest. The government has the worst record, all governments in the world. Public servants do not allocate capital well. However, in our country, we are going to have public servants find 100 people and given a billion rand each, and then suddenly they're industrialists. I cannot think of anything that's like as thick as that, but that's the way that it's been discussed within the organization. And they think that they really do believe that they've got the answer. There's another thing called that transformation fund. I don't know if you're aware of this thing. It's another 100 billion rand that's going to be allocated that is going to then be distributed by government again to small businesses. It's not surprising. Now, what the hell does a government guy know about a small business and the difficulties of dealing with bank managers and getting and sacrifice and getting up at 5 in the morning to just pay your bills this month? It's not in the psyche. It does not exist there. Because if you're going to work for the public sector, you're going to work there because you want to serve. But your benefit is that you get a good pension and you work from 9 to 5, not a moment later. And there are other issues that come that are incentivizing you to work for the public sector. And yet, South Africa has like swallowed this. We as South Africans have swallowed it for a long, long time. Why? Why have we gone along with this insanity? Because it is insanity. And you look at it in first principles. Hey, man, this doesn't work. There was a guy called Murray Gell-Mann. Murray Gell-Mann. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1969. He is a scientist, and his job is as a theoretical scientist. An author, the guy who wrote about Jurassic Park and many other things called Michael Crichton, pulled out a theory that Murray Gell-Mann produced some years ago. He passed away in 2019. And it's called the Gell-Mann amnesia effect. And the way the Gell-Mann amnesia effect works is that when you read something in a popular publication or in a publication, in the legacy press, if you like, and you know that subject, and you read this, you say, this is crap. This is real absolute rubbish. You read the next story and you believe it. That is the Gell-Mann amnesia effect. Because there's something built into our system to say, yeah, well, I know this is rubbish, but you actually seem to believe that the next thing that you're going to read is accurate and true. Of course, it's just as much rubbish. And as a consequence of that, we've got a system that has for decades supported the lack of rigorous debate over information. And many people kind of believe it. Oh, well, I don't want to rock the boat because actually they got to know more than me. And the Gell-Mann effect, yes, of course, I do know lots about engineering. And I know they don't know what they're talking about in engineering, but they must be right on politics. So the good news about all of this is that this is all changing. Thanks to that guy who started with his first principle thinking, Elon Musk, who spent $42 billion buying X or Twitter, which was turned from part of the establishment. I mean, I just have to say COVID-19, and you kind of get the story. All of this, we know. We're human beings, we know. We're smart. We are getting information today that we never had in the past. We have a flow of information today that was monopolized in years gone by. Today, I'd say this often to my colleagues at BizUse, and I mean this sincerely, every single person in this role knows more about their subject than I know. Every single person here. Because I'm in the media. I know a little bit about lots of things because that's what I've been trained in. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that the media does not know what is good for you, does not know what you should be thinking. And that's the height of arrogance to be pontificating about the way things are going. Nobody knows. It's a highly complex world. It's getting more complex and speeded up as we go. So what the media, what we do, what we try and do in our organization is we try and be a platform for competing views, contesting views. And we'll talk to those who are popular and unpopular because we respect those who we serve have got massive, massive sources of information everywhere, and they can make up their own minds. And if they can make up their own minds, you better not try to explain things to them that they already know. Because then when the Gell-Mann effect wears off, as it has been wearing off, you're going to be the one sucking the hind tit. This approach has really worked for us at BizNews. I just want to bring you up to date, and thank you for kindly saying we serve a million people. We now serve more than a million people, 1.2 million people on our TV platform alone. Now, I only say this because up until recently, that was impossible for someone like me and with my ideas on what media should be, i.e. as a platform to serve. It was impossible for me to ever have that platform because it was licensed by a government who said, well, you step out of line, you ain't going to be having that platform anymore. I never could get a radio license, even though I rescued two radio stations through the work that we did with them. So this has transformed the world that we live in. And that transformation in giving us information, in giving us the ability to make conscious decisions, has also given us at BizNews a target market of the thoughtful patriot. The thoughtful patriot. A patriot is not somebody who just sucks in what somebody in a big government building tells him they should be sucking in. A patriot is somebody who wants to make a better society, who wants to make a better country. And a thoughtful patriot is someone who actually thinks about, well, am I doing it in the right way? And that's really what each of us have the opportunity to be. And then we have a responsibility that goes with it. And that responsibility is to those that we engage with, especially as you get older. Because the benefit of getting older is that you should be getting wiser. And the benefit of being older is that younger people will ask you. And then you need to answer wisely. And you know what? Things are going to change even more dramatically now. The first industrial age was steam power. The second one was electricity. Yeah, I know. The third one was computers. The fourth one was the internet. And we're in the second stage of the internet. And the second stage is going to make each one of us, each one of the 8 billion people on Earth, smarter. And how is that so? Because we have the artificial intelligence wave. So anybody, anywhere on this planet, and hopefully soon, if Starlink is allowed to come to South Africa, anywhere in our country, can access free ChatGPT, Grok, etc., and ask questions that in the past were the monopoly of those in senior positions at government and academia. Information is power. And artificial intelligence today is where the internet was in 1997. Can you imagine that? Imagine if you can remember the internet in 1997. I can. I had a company then. I started in 1996. We had something called Ask Jeeves. We had do you remember Netscape? Anybody? Alta Vista was our search engine. Google wasn't even thought of back then. Extraordinary how far we've come. And that's where AI is today. That's where artificial intelligence is today. So what I would say to you is, if you stop and think for a minute about the real, real value that exists on Earth, I would suggest that it's to do with information and always has been with information. He who understands best is always going to make the right decisions. And he who makes the right, or she who makes the right decisions, is the one who is going to have the best outcome. It doesn't take a stretch to work that one out. But now the interesting thing is, information, the power of information, is already with the individual rather than the organization. And it's going to accelerate because artificial intelligence, it turbocharges our access to information. And you can say to ChatGPT or to Grok or your favorite AI engine, you can say, please explain to me the budget of the Hermanus Municipal Council in words that a 10-year-old will understand. You don't need to be an accountant to get that to come through. And I'll tell you what, try it. Give it a go. And you will be extremely surprised. Artificial intelligence is the next wave. It's happening. It's here. It's in its embryonic stage. And it is giving more and more power to the people. And it doesn't matter where you are on Earth. You are not immune, especially those who have relied on the vested interests to retain their position of privilege. And that makes me so excited about the future that we're going into and the future that each one of us is going to benefit from if we open our minds and look at the world as it is, not as some people would want it to be. Thank you. Thank you.